I brought a friend with me today. This is my froggy friend. He sits by my front porch. What does it say? Welcome. Have you seen that word someplace before? Welcome. It's actually put outside of a door to greet someone in a warm and friendly way. When somebody comes to our house, do we make them feel welcome? We might give them a smile, shake their hand. I like to give hugs. Or you could say, if they came into your house, let's go play. Dave and I have been to several different new places this past month and met a lot of new people that we didn't know before. And you know, each one of them made us feel very welcome and comfortable because we were a little nervous. Do people feel welcome when they come to our church? Let's be sure we always welcome them with a smile and say hello. Are children made to feel welcome in our church? Sometimes we don't know how to act. What if they whisper or pass notes? What if they wiggle and squirm and disturb our worship service? You know, that's nothing new. Even in the day when Jesus lived, some people were made not to feel welcome. Even Jesus' own disciples sometimes didn't understand that everyone was welcome in the kingdom of God. One day, when Jesus was teaching and people were bringing little children to have Jesus touch them, Jesus' disciples criticized the parents of these children and told them to quit bringing the children to Jesus. And when Jesus heard that, he said, and he was very upset. And Mark 10, verse 13, 14 says, let the children come to me and don't stop them. This is what Jesus said. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Then Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them. Like on the picture, see how Jesus is picking up the children and holding them, loving them? Jesus sure knew how to make children feel welcome, didn't he? Can you imagine how the children must have felt when Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them? You and I should always make everyone feel welcome, just like Jesus did. Can you say an echo prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. We want to learn the lesson Jesus taught us. Help us to make everyone. From the youngest to the oldest, feel welcome in our homes, in our church, in our schools, and in our circle of friends. Amen. Thank you.
Today's reading is from Matthew 2, 1 through 23. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, where is the child who had been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, or Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, who is to shepherd my people of Israel. Then Herod secretly called for his wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, They set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to console because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of the father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. So ends the reading.
You may be seated. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for reading, Harris. So this year I wanted to try a different response to the reading. We've been doing the prayer to the Holy Spirit before I preach. But this year I wanted to focus on Mary's response to the angel from Luke 1:38. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So, how many of you in school learned about astronomy and the constellations? Anybody? I loved it when they would bring us into the library in elementary school and they would bring in the portable planetarium and we'd go in this little tent and they'd show the stars and the constellations. And I hadn't thought really much about the constellations until just this week, recently, in my research on this sermon. And it brought back that sense of awe and wonder of the night sky. And I hadn't really paid much attention to the stars and the constellations or even the planets in the sky until I moved here, because I could actually see the stars and the planets in the sky because there wasn't as much light pollution. But this story that Matthew tells is phenomenal. How many of you were here when we watched The Star, that wonderful children's movie, family movie? You know, in that movie, they follow the star keeps moving, the star just appears right above Bethlehem. And that's the way that we traditionally hear the story. But in my research this week, I learned that Matthew probably wasn't talking about like a special star that just appeared out of nowhere, but that Matthew was actually using language of at the time it was astrological, but for us it would be astronomy. That this very well could have been a real alignment of planets and stars that the wise men, these magi, these These Zoroastrian priests from the kingdom, from the Parthian Empire, what we would know as Persia, that they might have actually been looking at actual phenomenon, celestial phenomenon in the sky. And as I was doing the research and looking, there are astronomers who have tried to prove this using Johannes Kepler's equations and calculations. In fact, Kepler himself was determined to try to calculate the date of Jesus' birth using the stars and trying to discern. But I want to show you, I had to dust off my King James version of the Bible. Because we heard read it in the New Revised Standard Version, and it talks about a star rising. But I want to read the old King James. Here's what it says in the beginning. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star not rising, but his star in the east, and are come to worship him.'" Not just pay homage to him, but to worship him. That was their mission for these magi. And it says, "We have seen his star in the east." Not just rising, but in the east. And the Greek phrase for that is ente anatole. Ente anatole, in the east. And that exact phrase was the same phrase that was used by astrologers in that time. People like the Magi of Persia, the Parthian Empire, who learned their craft going all the way back to the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. In fact, if you remember, how many remember the story of Daniel? Daniel and his three friends? They were taken in the exile out of Israel. And it was like a brain drain. They were taken, they were the best and the brightest. And they were put into King Nebuchadnezzar's court, and then later on, King Artaxerxes of Persia. And they had to learn, for 3 years, they had to be indoctrinated and learn all the culture and the language, the cuneiform of ancient Babylon. And among the things they had to learn were the dark arts, because Babylon was all about astronomy, astrology, sorcery, necromancy, interpreting dreams and visions. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit. So that Daniel and his friends were the best at everything they did. And people feared Daniel. In fact, Daniel was promoted to be like in charge of all these magi. It'd be like if he was what's the name in Harry Potter? Dumbledore. He was like the Dumbledore of the Dark Hogwarts of Babylon. So Daniel is kind of like the forebear. And decades after Daniel, the things that he would have taught as being the head magi would have been passed down to these same magi that come later to worship Jesus in Matthew's gospel. So even though they're Zoroastrian priests from Persia in the Parthian Empire, and they would have served as like the scientists among scientists in their day, they would have advised kings and rulers, and they probably would have dressed and looked like kings. And so these magi were adept at looking at the constellations and the stars. And so it says, "We have seen his star in the east." Now, how many of you, we look at stars, right? Stars are pretty stationary in the sky, right? You might see our position of the earth change, and we'll see the constellations kind of rotate at a different point in the sky, but they're all the same in relation to each other, right? So stars don't necessarily move, but we know from astronomy what do move, right? Planets. The planets orbit the sun, don't they? And so what they saw, the astronomers today can say, is they could see that they saw the movement of the planet Jupiter. How many of you ever seen Jupiter in the night sky? It was visible last fall. And sometimes Jupiter is even in conjunction with Venus. And the planets were named after, our planets even today probably have the same names, named after Roman gods and goddesses. So for instance, Jupiter was named the king planet, because Jupiter was named after Jupiter, the Roman equivalent to Zeus of the Greeks. And so Jupiter was this king planet. So The astrologers back in the ancient times, whenever they saw the appearance of Jupiter, they were always looking for something relating to a king, whether it was the king existing or the king that was born to come. In fact, 60 years before Jesus' time, there was a portent involving Jupiter in the sky, and the astrologers in Rome that were advisors to the Roman Senate saw that there was this portent of a great king to come. And that king ended up possibly being Gaius Caesar, a being Caesar that would come. And the Senate was so bothered by this portent in the sky, what the astrologers were saying, that they tried to put a stop and to try to have some of the young ones killed so they could prevent this king from rising up who would become emperor. And now, in this time when Jesus is born, these magi in the east see this star. And the astronomers found out that approximately 3 BC, that they saw Jupiter coming in front of the sun, and then they saw Jupiter passing through these constellations. And when they saw this star, apparently it was at the time of when it passed through Leo. How many of you know the lion Leo in the sky, right? So Leo is the lion. And the lion, for the Jews, the way that they had their tabernacle set up, it was set up to show that they had their own kind of approach to astronomy. And so Leo in the sky, the lion, was associated with the tribe of Judah. And what was the prophecy? For from you out of the tribe of Judah. It's from Micah. They said, in Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written, you Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not least among the princes of Judah. For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Or out of you shall become a great king. A prophecy of the Messiah. And so what these wise men saw might have been in 3 BC. They saw Jupiter coming in alignment with Leo the lion. And not just in the star, but there was this other star, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. It was known as Regulus, which was known as the king star. So isn't this fascinating? Jupiter's in the sky, it's passing through, and then they see it in alignment with Regulus, the king star, the brightest star, and it's like at the heart of the lion. So for Jews that might have saw that, it's like, oh, this is about Judah. And for the Magi that saw it, it's like, oh, this is about this great king to come. And so they're following it as it passes through the sky. And then later, when they were probably meeting with Herod in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem, it said that that star, approximately now it's like 2 BC, is coming through, and it's passing through the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin. That Jupiter, the king planet, is in conjunction with Virgo, the Virgin, the king and the Virgin. And who is the Virgin for us? Mary. This is amazing to me to find out about this. It might have been a real star. And so when they saw it, but then it says that this planet, Jupiter, and the star Regulus, that's the star that they kept seeing. But planets, you only see them primarily in the morning before the sun rises. And that's what they meant, the star rising in the east. And so when they got to Jerusalem and they were talking to Herod, this wicked king who was troubled because he would have heard all these astrological signs too from his wise people, they talked to him and they said that this is in... he was troubled and asked, where is he born, king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, Herod thinks he's the king, and they're coming to worship a different king. So, of course, he's bothered by this. He gathers all his brain trust together and asks him what to do. And they said, you Bethlehem in the land of Judah. He says, it's in Bethlehem. He tells them to go to Bethlehem. And they go. And when they go, it says the star appeared again in the east. And this time was the time where it was in conjunction with the Virgin. Now, how did that star stop, though? How does a star stop in the sky, or a planet stop in the sky? Well, they know now from astronomy that when planets orbit, sometimes the Earth is an inner planet, right? Jupiter's farther out past Mars. And so Jupiter has a much larger elliptical orbit than the Earth. So the Earth, as it goes around the sun, will actually lap Jupiter as it passes through. And so when that happens in the sky, it appears that the planet would stop. That star, it looks like a star to us, but that planet would stop. It's called retrograde motion in orbit. And that's what these astronomers think happened. That there was a retrograde motion at that exact time. And some astronomers date it to December 25th. December 25th, 1 BC. When they went to Bethlehem, these wise men, these experts in their field of their day who advised kings and queens, came with their royal caravan to see Mary and Joseph, the child Jesus. Because he's not a baby anymore. He's probably a toddler, maybe 2 years old. And after following all these stars in the sky and the planets, everything led to this moment where they unpacked and they came down and they knelt before Jesus. And they opened and gave their gifts fit for a king of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This star of wonder led them to Jesus. And to think that when God created the heavens and the earth, he wanted the whole world to know, even the Zoroastrian Gentile astrologers who would come and be some of the first people from outside the Roman Empire to come and worship Jesus when he's only a toddler. That star of wonder led them to the heart of worship. And I think that's significant for us today, friends, because people see and hear about Jesus. They might hear us talk about Jesus, but our goal as Christians in the church today and in the world, in our ministry of mercy and love for our neighbor, is to help them see Jesus as the light of the world and to have wonder at this gleaming star that they see. But not just to stand in wonder, but to help people to follow that light so that they can experience that heart of worship and have intimacy with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and know that their sins are forgiven. Know that the Savior has come for them, that God is with us. That there was a God who sent his Son to show us how to be real human beings, to recover what it means to be made in the image of God, to love our neighbor and to love ourselves and to love God with all. Amen? That God, when he created the universe, set all this into motion. If he can do that with the stars, can he surely do that with your life? Can I get an amen? Amen. So they come to worship. And that's why we're here today. We are here to worship our Savior King, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew's gospel, he takes great pains to contrast this evil king, Herod, who's insecure and knows his time is short. Herod was one of the most wicked and successful kings in all of Israel. In fact, he had had the temple rebuilt. And he instituted all the Mosaic laws and enforced them rigorously to where they were almost an oppression on the people. But yet, he was insecure when he heard about the true king coming. He lied to those wise men and said he wanted to come worship Jesus too, and he was lying. And he committed this great atrocity. Much like if we go back to the end of Genesis and the beginning of the book of Exodus, our ancestor in the faith, Joseph, who also saw the stars and interpreted dreams, who was much like a magi himself, he died. And then the next Pharaoh that came before Moses comes on the scene didn't know Joseph, the text tells us. And he had all these Jewish babies, these Hebrew babies, infants, toddlers. He had all the boys drowned. And in that time, that was when Moses was rescued. He was put in that little basket in the Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter found him. And he was raised to be a prince of Egypt. Well, in the same way, Herod tries to do what that earlier Pharaoh tried to do. And so God warned those wise men in a dream. They had to go home a different way. And I think that's the same for us. That when you come and you see the wonder and the light of Jesus, and you come to worship him, and you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. You can't go home the same way. You're taken on a different and a better way. Amen? Amen. And so, They were warned to go a different way home. And likewise, Joseph was warned to go and take his family to go to flee to Egypt. And so Matthew's telling us that Jesus is going to be this new Moses, this new deliverer, this greater prophet, priest, and king like Moses was for the Israelites. And he's going to lead them on a new exodus. And we'll have to keep reading Matthew to find out what that's going to look like. But eventually, when Herod died, the angel tells them they can go back. But he was still afraid. And so warned in a dream, he instead went to Galilee. Because Herod's son, Archelaus, was just as bad as Herod. In fact, he had thousands of people killed as an example in front of the temple to instill fear into the hearts of the population. And so they went to Nazareth in Galilee, so that what was fulfilled might be spoken by the prophets, that he, that is Jesus, shall be called a Nazarene. But this star wonder leads us to worship, doesn't it? And what better way can we worship than when we come and worship Jesus by proclaiming his life, his death, his resurrection, and knowing that the God who created us, male and female, he created us in his image,